Greetings, everyone. In the name of Yahweh HaMashiach, Yahusha the Messiah, our soon coming King. And we're going to go to Matthew 5. We'll also be speaking about the esteem of Yahweh, the power, the esteem, the highness of our Almighty Yahweh. Matthew chapter 5, the Messiah Yahusha is speaking. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. These are the promises. This is called the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew 5. So here's some promises in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Yahweh. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they so persecuted the prophets which went before you, or which were before you. So, the Messiah is teaching us here as well as he taught back then, 2,000 years ago. And in verse 12 it says again, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets which were before you. And then in verse 16, do works save us? But yet, no, they don't. But yet it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and magnify your Father which is in heaven. So, even though they don't save us, Messiah said that we must do good works and let our light so shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Verse 17, he came to fill it full and magnify the law. Verse 17, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets, not the prophecies, not the Torah. I come not to destroy the law nor the prophets, yet I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill or fill full. Messiah said that. And then he even tells us about the future. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Verse 19, who will be the least and who will be the greatest? Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, and that would be even be right now. We're not going back to the 1960s of pop psychology, Berkeley, or having our head up in the air, up in the clouds in some weird manifestation. We're coming right down to earth and teaching and preaching the word of Yahweh. And then in verse 48, it says that, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Or it says to become perfect there. Also, going to verse 28, there's even a sin of thought, a sin of thinking there that Messiah said that we should not do. I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her, a sin of thought, of lusting. And then his standard that he judges us by is his word, and namely, back in the basics, in the Torah. And in verse 46, there's a verse that is sometimes used to to condone an unfair advantage over us by false believers in, we'll back up a few verses there to verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? So be, or become, therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Yes. And then he teaches about life in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. Or you cannot serve Yahweh and the monetary system, and worship money. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body is more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And then verse 27 is next. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Oh, he's talking about self-esteem there. Which of you, by taking thought, can add a cubit to your stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yes, they have an end. And yet, I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if Yahweh so clothe the grass of the field, which today is his, and tomorrow is cast into the fire of the oven, shall you not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles do seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So first seek the kingdom of Yahweh, his righteousness, of course, his standards are contained in the Torah. Actually, they're contained all the way through the scriptures, from Genesis all the way to the end, the Revelation, and his righteousness. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So there's enough evil in each day that we want to avoid. We want to avoid falling into temptation and be circumspect. And we need to make a distinction between clean things and unclean things. So that was a reading of Matthew chapter 5 and 6, the Sermon on the Mount by Yahusha the Messiah. And that was in relation somewhat to breaking the law of Moses. We don't want to do that. We're going to be reading some laws, in fact, from the scriptures and reading about them. First of all, let's categorize some of the laws that we know after reading the Torah. Biblical law from GiveShare.org. That's www.giveshare.org. And it says on page 48 in that book, The Laws of the Bible, as we're going to pick up from where we left off quite a while back here. Page 48, it talks about criminal laws. found in Exodus 23, Deuteronomy 16, and Proverbs 17. And that's all under the category of criminal laws and bribery. Then there's contempt for the law, Numbers 15 and Deuteronomy 6:16. The penalty, Deuteronomy 17. Perjury, Exodus 20:16, and the Ten Commandments, Leviticus 19:12. Perverting or obstructing justice, and conspiracy, 2 Samuel 15. An example is given. Crimes of immoral acts, of adultery, and the penalty of that, of rape, its penalty, prostitution, with a penalty, seduction, incest, and sodomy. These are found in various books and chapters. Exodus 20:14, Deuteronomy 5:15, with a penalty in Leviticus 20:10, and Deuteronomy 22:22, the penalty for adultery. Then in Deuteronomy 22, we find rape is defined, and the penalty in Deuteronomy 22. That's my favorite chapter there about sexual morality. Prostitution, Deuteronomy 23, and the penalty, Leviticus 19. Seduction, Exodus 22:16. That's in the judgments in the law there, all about seduction. Incest, Leviticus 18:6, Deuteronomy 22:30. The penalty is Leviticus 20:11 is found in there. And there's so many of these, I'm not going to look them all up right now. You could order the book. You could write the scriptures down. I could send you a list, however you want to do it. But there's not time. This would take hours and hours to look. Well, it wouldn't take that long, but it would take more time than we can put in tonight on this program on YahvahYahweh.name, N-A-M-E. YahvahYahweh.name. And my email is Stephanyah with a T, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, at YahvahYahweh.name. Then we have more laws under criminal laws. We have crimes against people, murder, manslaughter, assault, kidnapping, slander, crimes against property, stealing, arson, moving a landmark. That's the landmark law in Deuteronomy 19:14. Laws pertaining to domestic relations. Marriage. Marriage is forbidden with stepmother, aliens, sister, aunt, grandchild, daughter-in-law. And these are found all through the Torah. And also in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, and 1 Timothy 3:2. And then there's the issue of divorce, found in Leviticus 21:22. That's 21 and chapter 22 verse 13. Isaiah 50, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 7:10. Not to marry a divorced woman, Deuteronomy 22 and 24, and it's explained in chapter 22 of Deuteronomy. And then penalties for committing adultery, found in Jeremiah 3:8. About parent and child. The father has authority over the child to arrange the marriage and to educate, to discipline, to honor. Children are to honor the parents. Children to be regarded as a gift of Yahweh. And the penalty of children who dishonor their parents in Leviticus 29, that's 20 verse 9, and Deuteronomy 21:18. Through 22. Laws about estates, inheritance, real property, and titles, social security and welfare laws. Then on to, and as far as neighbors and the poor, strangers or aliens, how that relates under the category of social security and welfare laws to servants, the handicapped, blind, deaf, and lame. Laws pertaining to contracts, debts, interest, loans, mortgages. Mortgage found there in Nehemiah 5:2. Pledges, sales of land, of servitude, sureties, marriage engagements, So Proverbs 6, verse 1, and Proverbs about marriage engagements is one that I should like because I once had a fiancé that kept my ring and went and married somebody else without telling me. So that's found in Proverbs 17, 18, among other places. Then we have in this guidebook about biblical law by Richard Nichols from GiveShare.org, we have the category of obedience and disobedience, what Yahweh requires of us. What does Yahweh require of us? Deuteronomy 10, Leviticus 18, with you shall live in Yahweh's laws. Keep Yahweh's laws, lest the land will spew you out. Leviticus 18, 26. Observe all Yahweh's laws. Leviticus 19, 37. Be separate and keep Yahweh's statutes. Leviticus 20, 7. Diligently obey all the statutes. Exodus 15, 26. Keep them with all your heart and soul. Deuteronomy 26, 16. There's one law for all, one manner of law for both the homeborn and the stranger. And this still applies today. If we read Romans 11 about being grafted into the good olive tree, but also found one manner for all, found in Leviticus 24, 22, Numbers 9, 14, Numbers 9, 14, and Numbers 15, 14. An exhortation to obedience in Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 6, 7, 8, 27, 29, and 33. Blessings for obedience in Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses of 28th chapter. Deuteronomy 11, 26. Genesis 22, 15. Genesis 26, 4. And Leviticus 26. Curses for disobedience. In Leviticus 26, also, there's blessings for obedience and disobedience in 26th chapter of Leviticus. And Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. Curses for disobedience in Deuteronomy 29, 18. Curse to Eve for disobedience to Hava or Eve. Genesis 3, 16. Curse to Adam for disobedience. Genesis 3, 17. Cursed be he who does not do all the law, Deuteronomy 27, 26, and Matthew 4, 4, so Deuteronomy 27, 26. And your sin will find you out, is found there in Numbers. You can find that scripture, that your sin will find you out in Numbers 32, 23. Now, it's been said that there's 613 laws in the so-called Old Testament. Well, there's over 1,000 laws in the Brit Kadashah, the so-called New Testament. There is 1,050 laws that have been enumerated, been counted there. So what Yahweh requires of us, Deuteronomy 10, and now Israel, what does Yahweh require of thee? Deuteronomy 10, 12. What does he require of thee? But to fear Yahweh, thy mighty one. So are you doing that, walking in proper fear, the proper attitude and respect, to walk in all his ways and to love him, not as the world considers love, but in a more of a matter of humble obedience, to love him and to serve Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. That was from Deuteronomy 10. Leviticus 18 says, you shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am Yahweh. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. I am Yahweh. And then to the 26th verse of Leviticus, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, have the men of the land done, I believe that, which were before you, and the land is defiled. So that's what happens when we commit an abomination. Our land is defiled, our cattle are defiled, our sheep. And that the land spew you not out also, or that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you, or vomited out, or cast you out. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Verse 30. Therefore shall you keep my ordinances, that you commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourselves therein. I am Yahweh, your mighty one. Leviticus 19:37. Therefore you shall observe all my statutes and my judgments, and do them. I am Yahweh. And back to verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and if we're not of Israel, who are we? We're as numerous as the sands of the sea. The children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be pure, for I am Yahweh, and I am pure. Chapter 20, verse 7, set yourself apart, therefore, and be pure, or Kodesh, for I am Yahweh, your mighty one, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahweh, which sets you apart. Exodus 15, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh, the mighty one, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, this is verse 26, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh that healeth thee, Jehovah, or Yahweh, Rapha, Rapha, Yahweh that healeth thee, Exodus 15:26. And then finally, in Deuteronomy 26:16, this day Yahweh, thy mighty one, has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Because there's one law, there's in Leviticus 24:22, one law for all. You shall have one manner of law as well as for the stranger, as for one of your own country, for I am Yahweh, your mighty one. Numbers 9:14, you shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. So one law, not two different laws, not one Gentile law, and the other being a Jewish law. No, Yahweh is one. Bet Echad. Numbers 15:14, also about one law. If a stranger sojourns among you, then he's to offer an offering. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger, an ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Some will say, well, I'll get out of that one because their generations, no, the generations are still around. It said 40,000 years. So far, we've only been on earth for 6,000. And coming up to the 7,000th year, when Yahweh shall return, and Yahosha the Messiah shall return. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you. But the soul that does aught presumptuously, if he does anything presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yahweh, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And then there's exhortation to obedience, Deuteronomy 4. Yahweh, do we want to share his esteem when we're healed? We go to a doctor, and the doctor shares in, gets some of the credit and esteem for that. But Yahweh says he will not share his esteem with anyone. In many, many, Isaiah 42:8, 48:11, and we're going to get to some of these. As I said, talked about the break here, we're about 25 minutes in. From time to time, we'll have a little bit of music. I also would like to thank those from around the California area for viewing this website. All you fine people there in California, in Washington, which is the second most popular area there for having viewed the website on Yahweh Yahweh. California, Washington, next is New York. And I want to say hi to Ed up there. Hope you're still with us, bro. And what an encouragement he is to me. Young man, young man. But young man in Yaba, not down at the YMCA, what it'll be like to stand around, sit around, kneel around the throne room at Yaba, and in front of Yahusha the Messiah, and praising him, lifting up our hands, literally there in the physical presence of our Almighty King of Kings. Now the question is, how do you find Yahweh's name in the Torah? And the question, I think, comes from a person in the Kansas City, USA area, Kansas City there. Thank you. So how do you find his name in the Torah and throughout Scripture? Well, you can look in wherever it says Lord, L-O-R-D. That's incorrectly translated 7,000 times. That's not right at all. If you go back and look at the Hebrew, you will see that it's not Lord at all. That's not Lord. Lord's a different word. That's an English, well, it has a different derivation. It's not, didn't begin there. But anyway, look for L-O-R-D, and you'll find, instead of L-O-R-D, you'll find the four letters called it's called the Tetragrammaton. Now, if that name sounds confusing, tetra means four, and a grammaton, something about grammar, so that's all I can, that's all I know there. But anyway, that reading from right to left in Hebrew, right to left, and we find out Yahweh's name right there. So where do we find it? First of all, well, wherever it first mentions L-O-R-D. I see the microphone is about to fall off again, so I better stop. And but I would say, whoop! I would say there in chapter 2, I see one instance there. In Genesis chapter 2:21, and L-O-R-D, G-O-D, so L-O-R-D, and Yahweh, the Mighty One, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which Yahweh, the Almighty, had taken from the man. So L-O-R-D, no, Yahweh, not Lord. If you look up Lord in the Strong's Concordance, it says Baal. So and then if you look up the English names of the Almighty, of the Sovereign One, then it doesn't say Lord there. It doesn't say Baal. So they didn't put two and two together when they wrote that concordance, and they got down to defining the word L-O-R-D. But this is not a study about that. So I would say, it looks like about the first place is in the second chapter of Genesis, or Bereshit, verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7, and Yahweh, the Almighty, the Sovereign One, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So now the next question, I suppose, will be, where do we find the Tetragrammaton, or the you know, the name of the Father in the Brit Kadoshah, or the New Testament? Well, we're going to find it wherever they wrote Lord, although there's a difference between Hebrew and Greek there, but that's beyond the scope of what I'm doing here on the website. And we are all just people studying the Scriptures and praying, asking Yahweh to receive our praise. We pray for a lot of things. We have a lot of needs, a lot of people to pray for, and sometimes things don't change the way we want them to do. Maybe it's not His will, or, you know, there could be some other factor. Only Yahweh knows the future. We don't know the future. So just hang on there. Hang on and keep praising Yahweh. And I'm not going to worry too much about my own needs when I pray for my own, you know, I need a new hip joint, and I need, you know, better health. I need better eyesight or something. I'm not going to worry about that too much. Or say in 20 years, I'm going to worry about dying, you know. Here I am, I've got this terrible fatal disease. Now I'm going to die. Well, what good would it do to pray about it then? Because I'm going to be gone. I'll go to the grave and wait for Yahweh's Son to return and to bring that power of the resurrection at the last trump. 1 Corinthians 15 and the book of the Revelation and 1 Thessalonians. Yes. And also, yes, 2 Peter encourages about Yahweh's second coming. So, we will lift up his name, and we will exalt him. We will magnify and the Most High, and give him the praise of our lips, but also the praise of our hearts. And it will manifest itself in our actions, in our deeds as well as in our words. It will manifest in our walk, in our works, as works don't save us, Ephesians 2:8-10, but we are his workmanship, created unto Messiah, unto good works. Well, a correction, we're about 30 minutes into our webcast so far on YahwehYahweh.name. And in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, Revelation 1:6, let's lift up our heavenly, mighty King of Kings, our husband, our heavenly Father. Actually, Almighty Father, he is called there in Isaiah. Okay, Revelation 1:6. And he has made us kings and priests unto the Yahweh, or rather unto the Mighty One, and his Father. For him be esteem and dominion forever and ever. Hallel. Revelation 4:9. They are in the King James Version, which I am correcting, where they put L-O-R-D or G-O-D. I'm correcting those incorrect words. Revelation 4:9-11 say, and when these beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, or 24 elders, fell down before him that sat on the throne and praised him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy. Now the elders are doing that, saying, thou art worthy, O Yahweh, or L-O-R-D, it said here in the King James. Thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive esteem and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's an excerpt there in Revelation, excerpt from Psalm 90. So our next reference is in the next chapter, verse 12, 5:12. The heavenly messengers, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and esteem and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor, esteem and power be unto them that sitteth, rather be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Hallel. And the 24 elders fell down and praised him that liveth forever and ever. So they're praising Yahusha, the Almighty. Chapter 11:13. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. And the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave esteem to the Mighty One of heaven. The second woe is past. So a great earthquake, the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave esteem. They gave esteem to Yahweh of heaven, so that's the point of reading that. Revelation 14:7. And this is the messenger flying in the midst of heaven. And is it a satellite dish for the Adventist? No, it's a messenger having the everlasting evangel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahweh, and give esteem to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and praise him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So I said, I read that in the King James, it says fear G-O-D, I changed that to fear Yahweh. That might apply to the sun as well, since the sun was the one who spoke in the wilderness. In the wilderness to the brethren, to the children there of Israel, to Moses. And he even spoke face to face with Adam. So, chapter 16, verse 9 in Revelation is the fourth angel pouring out his vial. It says he poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the sun is S-U-N, the sun up there. That gets a little warm. Men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of the Mighty One, which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him esteem. Oh, sometimes we get feeling pretty foul, but not that foul. We're not going to blaspheme the name of Yahweh. Not deliberately, and hopefully ever. We're not ever going to do that, or if we've done it already, ask for forgiveness. Anyway, we make up our mind to not do it again. That's from a pure heart. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7, and then back to Thessalonians. Not back to it, but yes, turning back to it. But Hebrews 2, 7. What is man that thou art mindful of him? This is the previous verse. Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Quoting from Psalm 8. Thou madest him a little lower than the messengers. Thou crownest him with esteem and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Chapter 42 of Isaiah. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my esteem I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And he says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things I will declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Scripture says in the last chapter, the very last chapter of Scripture, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Yahushua Messiah, have sent my messenger to testify unto you these things in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Also remember in chapter 14 of Zechariah, how he's going to come and judge and rule the nations. If we see the whole balance of Scripture, it's a fair, balanced look at who Yah is, not this namby-pamby, watered-down version of who the Messiah is, the poor Jesus out there, who is the little lowly one born in the crib, who is, always has to apologize when he gets angry at us, like the song there by Al Hibbler. It was a beautiful song, but he can turn the tides. He can watch all the waves. He watches us all the way through the night. He still finds the time to hear prayer. He knows every lie you and I have told. And though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive. Is that true? He'll always say, I forgive, even if we don't repent, right? He'll just say, well, I'm sorry for being angry with you. I'm going to have to ask your forgiveness that I was offended in you. The Almighty Messiah is going to ask us for forgiveness. And that's sort of the impression that that song by Al Hibbler gives us there, about 1952 or so. And it was a great orchestration. Great singing, but I think it somewhat does despite to the unmerited favor of Yahweh, or what they call grace. It's that cheap grace concept that we can just do anything and get away with it. Of course, some people may think that we're being too judgmental when we talk like this. We're not being loving enough, and we're putting too much judgment and negativism into our thoughts about him. But he is loving. Who is a loving? What does love mean? You know, love means keeping the commandments of Yahweh for one really thing, for sure. Zechariah 14, behold, the day of Yahweh comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. So the day of Yahweh is kind of says L-O-R-D. People use that word too freely there and throw it around. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from that city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against these nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Also see Revelation 19:11. And back in Zechariah now, verse 5, and he shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, he shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah, and Yahweh my mighty one shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And Zechariah 14 there talks about the end times. And I believe that his feet will touch the Mount of Olives at even on a Feast of Trumpets, perhaps in our lifetime, perhaps before 2033, which would be 2,000 years since his death, burial, and resurrection, and he gave us that new or renewed covenant. Living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinter sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. What about fall there and spring? Well, those two seasons are not mentioned in Scripture. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, one master, one husband, and his name One. And then it goes into keeping the Feast of Tabernacles there, even in this prophetic chapter, looking into the future there. Malachi, another great, well, I can't read everything here. There's only so much time, and it is limited. So what a beautiful thing to be saved in his sight, to walk in liberty. We're free. We're bound to him. We're bound to love him, and we're free to walk in his liberty, to walk in his ways that he has specified in the Scripture. If we're not walking according to the Scripture, but according to Spirit, but according to some other Spirit, then we're not walking in love, but we're bound to walk in love, in real love, in scriptural love, in Yahweh-like love, in Messiah's love, walking by the Spirit, not contrary to the Word, but agreeing with the Spirit, with that liberty, the power to do what we ought to do. Liberty is the power to do what we ought to do. And we're not perfect, but we are saved by unmerited favor. We're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. But we don't want to abuse the privilege of being called a child or a son of the Most High, a child of the Son of Yahweh. Oh, I thank him for his unmerited favor, for his death, burial, and resurrection on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago. I thank him for creating us and continuing to cause us to exist by his word, by his spirit, that nephesh, where he keeps our soul. We're breathing with that fresh air. Where'd the air come from? Well, he made it. It didn't evolve. and that we lift him up in our lives. We make sure that we're walking according to Yahweh's ways. And where are we going? Well, we're going to wrap things up here, but I want to play a song for you by Ray Price, but also checking my notes here. All right, we also talked about that word Lord. People say, I'm making him Lord of my life. Well, first of all, if we look at Hosea, and it tells us that the word Lord actually means Baal. Or if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, L-O-R-D means Baal, but Y-H-V-H, that's in the original, or rather in the Hebrew manuscripts, whether original or not, Y-H-V-H means who the Father is. That's his name, the Y-H-V-H. But Lord of all, if Lord really did mean husband and master and King of Kings and sovereign of all, is he sovereign of our lives? When we say that I have made him sovereign of my life, or Lord of my life, if they want to use that term loosely there, is he Lord of my, or is he sovereign, rather, of my recreation time, my vacation time, recreation and vacation, and, the seventh day of the week? Is he sovereign of that day as well? And of the feast days, the seven feast days, the annual feast days, three of them are traveling times, pilgrimage feasts. Is he sovereign of my culinary life? Is he sovereign in my kitchen and in my what I eat, in my tummy? Is he sovereign of my stomach and my taste buds? Yes, he should be. And or do I overeat? Well, then he's not sovereign of my life, because I'm in sin. I'm overindulging and causing harm to my body and overloading the parts, the kidneys and all that. Yes. Is he sovereign of what I eat then, the clean and unclean? Well, and the unclean is an abomination. Is he sovereign of our activity as far as in marriage and being faithful, or sexual immorality? Is he sovereign enough that we don't get into sexual immorality? Is he sovereign of our bedrooms and of our marriage beds? Yes, he must be sovereign of that too. And even of my lusts, of passions that I might have. Yahusha, the Messiah, must be sovereign over that life as well. So we give him esteem, as we mentioned earlier. He is the sovereign, the master, the King of Kings, the husband, the lover of our souls, and we give him praise all the time. Write me at StephenYah@YahvehYahweh.net. Shalom. Appreciate your joining us today from wherever you are. May Yahweh bless you. Through his Son, praise Yah.
Anybody here want a home with love forever? Say I do.